This is Dr. Jonathan Shaw. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crown Ministries Podcast today. We hope that this message transforms you and encourages you to pursue God's presence in a greater way. Enjoy the message.
And we'll read verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. When you have it, say, I have it. One person got you. If you don't have it, say, slow down. Okay. Isaiah 55. Verses 8 and 9. It's up on the screens. And it reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I'll read it again. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You may be seated. I want to preach this morning from the subject, a new sensation. A new sensation. A new sensation. I want to speak to the people of God this morning that we are going to experience God in a whole new way. If you receive that, talk back to me. We're walking into a space, into a time, into a season, into a year where we feel God, experience God, and sense God in a whole new way, on a whole new level. You see, as human beings, we make decisions based on our senses. The five senses, which is sight, taste, touch, hearing, and smell. Through these five senses, we collect information about our environment that are interpreted by the brain. We make sense of this information based off previous experience and what we've learned from those experiences. We instinctively want to relive the good experiences while at the same time avoid the traumatic ones. Amen, somebody. We like what we like and we hate what we hate based on previous sensory information. For example, smell. We like certain smells or certain scents based off what we've smelled before, certain perfumes or colognes or fragrances, you know, or foods, what we've smelled in the past. We want that experience again. But on the flip side, if you're like me and you don't like funk, certain things are just distasteful and disgusting. I don't like odor. So for me, certain people, if you're around me, get your odor together. Because I just don't like funk. I've had bad experiences with people that are funky and places and atmospheres that are just not clean and tidy. So based off my experience, my sensory information, my senses for smell, I just don't like odor. Right, so that's for most of us, good smells, bad smells. Based off our experience, we are attracted to certain scents and where we propel or take off certain odors. Same thing with hearing. When we hear certain sounds or certain music, right, we like the type of music, the style of music, the genre of music based off what we've heard in the past. Therefore, we want to repeat that experience. You ever heard a song and you just had it on repeat over and over and over and over because it did something to your senses when you heard it. Maybe it was soothing, or maybe it was calming, or maybe it was uplifting. Whatever it did to your senses, you want to repeat that experience again. But then there are certain sounds that we don't want to hear anymore. If there's arguments, if there's a yelling, you ever been in a situation when you kind of sense, all right, this is about to get crazy, y'all are arguing, y'all getting too loud for me? You ever been in a conversation with someone where, you know, for you it's just a conversation, but they start to get loud, they get, based off your previous experience, you know where this is going, right? So you know what, if you're not ready to just talk, we can have this conversation another day, because I know where noise can take me. I know where that kind of conversation can take me. So based off my experience, I'll back off, right? So we can handle this at a much mature level. Hearing and sound and you know what I'm saying? Those experiences lead us whether or not to relive an experience or stay away from that experience. Somebody say it's information. Certain touch, right? Touch is information. Certain taste. There's certain foods that we like based off our experience. Some people like spicy. Some people like sweet. Some people like salty. All of these experiences has allowed your brain to process information to let you know what you like and what you don't like, right? So we respond almost automatically to the information provided by these senses. And these responses are important for survival in our environment. Most of us, if you've lived long enough, your senses are most of the times protective. Is to protect you and keep you safe in certain environments. You know when you walk into certain environments what's likely to happen and what's likely not to happen. You protect yourself based off your senses. And they said the most important, or the senses that we use the most 80% of the time, are sight and hearing. Our sense of hearing and our sense of sight are what we use the most to process our information. So based off what we've seen in our childhood, based off what we've seen in our past, or based off what we heard, conflicts or influences how we interact with people and how we deal with things today. So the problem I'm having with these two is that we're now in a place, we're saved, and we hear the word of God, we hear prophecy, we hear these good things, yet what we hear doesn't always match what we see. If you're saved, we know the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So there's always a conflict between our faith and facts. Our sight gives us the facts. What we see gives us what's concrete and what's logical and what makes sense. But what we've been hearing is faith, is what's unseen. It's the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. So for years, I don't know about you, I've always had these internal warfares between my faith and the facts, between what I hear and what I've seen. I've been told for years that I'm great and I'm going to do great things, but for years what I see is hardship. For years what I've seen is struggle. For years what I've seen is dependency on people, as much as I don't like it. For years what I've seen doesn't match what I hear. And lately, that's been a problem in my prayer life. If I can be honest, my prayer life has been hindered because for years I've been hearing all these good things. I've been hearing all of these good prophecies. I'm trying not to get excited. I've been hearing all of these futuristic words, and I've been imagining them, but my sight is showing me something different. I've been told through prophecy, I've been told through the scripture that I'm the head and not the tail. But what I've seen in my life as a husband, as a father, there are days where I can't even provide for my own children. So I'm confused, God, how in the world that I'm hearing I'm the head and not the tail, but I feel like I'm at the bottom of the bottom. I feel like I've got to scrape every time we need something. I feel like I've got to beg and borrow whenever I need to take care of obligations. What I'm hearing doesn't match what I'm seeing. So as Christians, we always war between what we hear and what we see. Because if you're logical, if you're analytical, if you're someone who needs to know all the facts, I've got to see it to believe it. I've got to see it to believe it. And I've seen too much in my life to solely depend on what I keep hearing. But the problem is, see if I got a few amens, I keep hearing it. You ever try to get the word of the Lord out of your head? You ever try to get those prophecies out of your head? You ever try to get this scripture, these scriptures out of your head? The power of hearing is that once you hear it, it enters your soul. And that's the power of music. Music needs no permission to enter your soul. That's why commercials, they use music to help you retain the information that they're trying to market. Y'all remember the old Folgers commercial? The best part of waking up is... Now, who tried to memorize that? Who went home and actually studied that? You didn't, because music, you understand what I'm saying? Once you heard it, it sunk deep in your soul. And no matter how much you try to forget it, it's always there. And that's why when we're studying scripture and when we're hearing prophecy and we're trying to transform into this person that God wants us to be, we got to be careful what kind of music we listen to. We got to be careful what kind of environment we surround ourselves with. We got to be careful what kind of people we associate with, because hearing is just as almost as powerful as seeing. And once you hear it internally, you're transforming and combating what you're seeing. So the problem I'm seeing here is what I'm experiencing is no different than what's been going on in the Bible. Every time I think it's just me, I see a reflection of it in the Bible. There's no struggle we've ever been through that we cannot see the story in the Bible. You see, the children of Israel, the chosen people of God, hear me, the chosen people of God. See, now that's important, because this is who God chose. Now, I would think if it's somebody or group of people God chose, they would be living the high life. They'll be well taken care of. You know what I'm saying? Things will be easy. Things will be smooth. Whatever God says, boom, it just happens like that. But these are the same people that were enslaved by Egyptians. These are the same people. Yes, they crossed the Red Sea. They made it into the promised land and all of that, yet still we find ourselves in the book of Isaiah, in our text, they're under Babylonian captivity. Now, how do you take chosen people, emancipate them from slavery? They go through all of that. Woo! They're in the promised land. Boom! You think they're good. Land of milk and honey. They're straight. They got their own land. They got their own property. They're doing their thing. And now they're under captivity. And this ain't the first one. This ain't the only captivity they've been through. We just don't have the time for it. In this text, they're under Babylonian captivity. And mind you, these people are going through. And through all of this, they start serving other gods. They start worshiping other people. And I've heard this preached so many times. They were just so stubborn, the people of Israel. Let me tell you something. If it's me, trust me, I would have tried other stuff too. Because if you told me that I'm of you, you're going to take care of me, this, that, and the third, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And every time I turn around, somebody else has me gripped by the neck. Somebody else is holding me captive. Somebody, listen, I'm going to try something else too. Because if you try something long enough and it doesn't work, after a while, you're going to try something else. It's human nature. And I've had to catch myself for years and years. Stop beating yourself up because I mess up. If you're like me, you mess up while you're saved. If you're like me, you come on here. You backslid. Let me just talk about, I've got more backslidden days than I've got holy days. I've done more wrong than I've done right. I've got more secrets than I've got more salvation. I've had so many days when I've gone left when I should have gone right. And I would beat myself up like, Dale, what are you doing? And God had to check me. The people of Israel did it too. Because there were periods where they wouldn't even hear from God. And when they would hear from God, they heard it through a prophet. God always sent a prophet, someone to speak to them so that they can hear the word and be transformed again. And he says to them, my ways are not your way. This scripture, although it's inspirational, it is conflicting for me because, like, what do you want me to do? You ever ask God, like, what do you want from me? This relationship here is like no other. It's up and there's good days, but there are so many bad days. There's some high and holy day. There's some great day. If every day could be like Sunday morning, if Monday through Saturday could be as high and holy, could be as rich. You see, the days where I have the most rhythm is on Sunday morning. I wish the rest of the days could be like that. But he tells them, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. In other words, intentionally, I put you here. That's hard information to digest. You mean to tell me the struggles and the captivities and things I've been going, God allowed me to go there. You did it. All this time I blamed the devil, but it was you. And the story I want to take us to that it reminds me of the of these journeys. Y'all remember the story of the birth of Jesus? Y'all know the story, right? And I'd like to focus on Jesus. I'd like to focus on him as a baby. I'd like to focus on Jesus. I would love to, but there's a space in here where I need to focus on Mary, because upon hearing this, you are highly favored of the Lord. Hear these words. God chose you to carry the Messiah. Now, you would think upon hearing that, she's going to have a smooth journey. She's going to have a nice cakewalk. If you're carrying the greatest thing, you should have it easy. You would think her and Joseph would have it. No, but instead upon hearing this, she went through humiliation. She went through slander. She was on the run. How do you hear a word from God and now you're on the run? How do you hear a word from God and now you're displaced from your comfort zone? That's bothersome to me. But the truth is, if we're looking at our lives from when we first got saved and when we first heard from God and we really started carrying on our purpose, that's when things really started to get messy and crazy. You know the times in your life where you really started losing people? Is when you started carrying something. The moments in your life where you lost the most people or the most important people is when you started carrying something. Mary was carrying something they didn't understand. You mean to tell me you pregnant and you ain't have sex yet? You mean to tell me you the Holy Ghost impregnated you? Are you? Could you imagine saying that in 2020? Could you imagine, y'all, I'm pregnant. Oh, yeah, who's the daddy? No. The Holy Ghost impregnated. Girl, bye. Stop it. You understand what I'm saying? Could you imagine what kind of humiliation that would be? The truth is, she wasn't scandalous. She wasn't out sleeping with nobody. She wasn't really doing nothing. The problem was she was carrying something they couldn't understand. And if she tried to explain it, she couldn't do the story any justice. And that's the problem with most of us. We're carrying something people can't even understand. And the truth is, let me tell you, some of you, if you haven't gone through it yet, you're going to lose people that are closest to you. You're going to lose, here we go, family members. Because once you say yes to God, you're going to be disconnected from people you used to depend on. Because you're now carrying something that people cannot understand. The concept of the Immaculate Conception, it's impossible for the average mind. There's no sense it. You can't taste it. You can't smell it. You can't see it. You can't touch it. It's something out of this atmosphere. You've got to hear it and just believe it and watch people disappear. So in the most vulnerable moment of her life, ask any woman who's been pregnant, you need support. You need help. You need a community. So in the moment when this girl needed people the most is where she lost everybody. Not because she did something wrong. It's because she was carrying something people couldn't understand. And that's frightening. This is why I respect women so much. Y'all go through so much, yet still hold the fort together. Women experience and go through so much, and yet still keep things up. You see, men, we're visionary. We can see things and want to do things, but women are navigators. Whatever needs to be done, they find a way to just make it happen. They find, come on here, they make dollars out of 15 cents. They do things that's just out of this world. I have a respect for women and mothers that I can't have for anything or anyone else, because when y'all are going through, no one would even know. Y'all got so much bottled inside, yet still got to be holy, you still have to be pure, you still have to be pretty, you still have to take on so many demands, yet still carry things that people wouldn't understand. And women lose friends more than men do. Women lose associates and connections far more than men do. But what I respect the most that I've seen from my mother, that I've seen from my wife, is that they don't chase nobody who don't want to stay. If you don't want to be a part of this journey, goodbye. If you don't want to be a part of this process, you can do what you need to do. But on the inside, they're carrying something that's changing. They're very dynamic. On the outside, they hold it together. But on the inside, their chemical balance is changing. They have more dark days than they can count. They have more pain than they can articulate. When a woman is pregnant, everything on the inside changes. Their senses begin to change. Their taste buds, y'all ain't talking to me, begin to change. Their sense of smell start to change. Certain things they used to like now aggravate them. Come on here. Scents that they used to like, what was an aroma before, is now an odor. What used to be appetizing is now disgusting because on the inside, something is changing. Yet, they still hold it together. They watch people leave and hold it together. They watch people go and hold it together. They hear people talk about them and hold it together. They hear the slander and the gossip and hold it. You see, men, we've got some secrets that come out and we can recover and bounce back because it ain't that serious with us. But with women, they drag it. When a woman goes through something, let a woman sleep around. They gonna drag it. That heifer, that skank, that people gonna drag, and they hear it. They hear the conversations and they hear the slander and they hear, and the truth is some of it may be true. I did it. I slept with him. I drank it. I did it. I was there. I was a part of it. But you have no idea what I'm carrying. And Mary had to go through all of this. Didn't do anything wrong. Because people didn't understand what she was carrying. You ever been through a season in your life where you had so much coming your way? Watch this. Here's a side note. God spoke to you, gave you a glimpse of your future, messed up and allowed you to feel what you're going to be, allowed you to see the type of lifestyle you're going to live. Hear this for 10 screamers. Allowed you to see the impact you're going to have on people. Because if you love to see people do good, this one's for you. He's allowed you to see the influence and the transformation that you're going to leave on people. You've seen it and it got you excited. But all your community started to disperse. And the people you thought you were going to bring along the journey left you, talked about you, told you it was a pipe dream, told you it was one in a million. You really gonna do that? They had no idea. They couldn't understand what you were carrying. That's the power of purpose. It alienates you from people. Purpose will separate you from people you thought you were going to take along the journey. Purpose will separate you, and you didn't want to do it. You didn't try to do it, but you just watch it fall by the wayside. Let me tell you three things about humans. We need conversation. We need connection. And we need community. But what I'm learning about Christianity is, when you say yes, the conversations start to cease. Because what's starting to come out of your mouth doesn't make sense to the average ear. What you start to speak doesn't make sense, watch this, to the people you're conversing with. Because your language, when you're pregnant with purpose, your DNA changes and your language starts to change. And what used to sound like English to your folks is now foreign language. So you can't converse with people that you used to. Conversation is how we connect. And then you watch the connections start to disconnect. Because one thing about someone that's anointed and got oil, people can't stand to be around you. It's not because you got nasty. It's not because your attitude changed and you just became this certain person. It's simply because being around you burns them out. One thing about oil, You can't cook everything with all types of oil, because what needs to be cooked with olive oil, if you cook it with vegetable oil, it's going to start to burn. And that's why our connections, the people we're connected to, start to disconnect, because speaking with you burns them out. They don't have the fire your oil maintains, because your oil was meant to burn a certain type of fire. So if your oil is around people who can't contain you, they'll simply burn out. That's why you're left lonely. Hence why your community has shrunk. And you now realize, I used to roll deep. I used to have a lot of associates. I used to have a lot of people. But since I heard this word, my community has shrunk. And the people I thought I would depend on, I can't no more. And oftentimes, there's just one I can lean on. And Mary, upon hearing this, all she had left was Joseph, who I'm sure in her mind, how do I tell this dude? Bruh, I'm pregnant, but I'm sure in her mind, like, I can't even get this message across. I can't even finish this conversation. I'm pregnant, but it ain't yours. You ever been at a crossroads? You ever been at that space where you got it? Because she heard it from the angel. She conceived it. She got it. She felt it. But how do you now have this conversation? How do I now tell people that I'm a walking miracle? How do I now tell people, how do I now tell the closest to me something that's impossible? The beauty of this text, and I'm going, is before she could speak with him, the angel already had a conversation with Joseph. Where you're going next, you won't have to fight for community or connection or people to come. God already spoke to every person that you need to be accompanied by. God already spoke to every person that's going to walk with you on this journey. As a matter of fact, the next time you connect with somebody, they're going to come and grab you by the hands and hold your hand on this journey, because God already told them, don't be afraid. What she's carrying is true. What she's holding is true. You ain't got to be afraid. She did nothing wrong. Y'all are both going to bear this weight together. So before she could tell him, the angel already spoke to him. So they were able to walk. So Mary didn't have to just carry this by herself. And that's where most of us has been for years. We've been carrying this, help me Jesus, by ourselves. Our chemical balance has changed. The way we perceive has changed. The way we smell and taste and hear has changed. The way we communicate, everything about us has changed. And we've accepted we're going to do this by ourselves. And we've even adjusted to the walk. We walk like we don't know what it's like to walk straight no more, because we're used to waddling. We've been carrying so much. But let me tell y'all, you'll never waddle again by yourself. God, the purpose that you carry, somebody's going to accompany you and hold your hand. The purpose, the gift that you're carrying, God told me to tell you, there'll always be somebody holding your hand. I'm going. They carried something people wouldn't understand. And on this journey, they had to get to Nazareth. They had to get there. And the beauty is, mind you, Mary had other children after Jesus. But when you're carrying the one, when you're carrying the gift, when you're carrying what can't be understood, it's a different scent, it's a different type of sense. I could only imagine, the world can only imagine what it was like to carry Jesus. Do you know how much your whole DNA is changing when you're carrying Jesus? Do you know how much of you is changing and transforming? You've been imagining it. Let me tell you, you've been doing it. You've been carrying Jesus for a long time. Everything about you has changed over the years. By show of hands, how many of you have changed in the last 5 years? By show of hands, how many of you have changed in the past 3 years? Yes, we still got struggles. Yes, we still got bills unpaid. Yes, we still got so many circumstances. But can I get 5 screamers? I've changed over the last few years. I'm different. My attitude is different. The way I respond to people is different. Because why? I've been carrying Jesus all of these years. And those old sensations had to take a back seat. Now, mind you, when she heard this, she had to first go to Elizabeth's house. She had to go to her cousin's house. The angel told her, look, your cousin Elizabeth, she's already 6 months ahead. Here's what blew my mind. Because initially, I wanted to go through the details of the journey, the bumpy roads and all they had to go through. But God took me to this place. She went to Elizabeth's house. She conceived, she was carrying what people wouldn't understand, quite frankly, what she ain't even understand, and went to her cousin's house, and here's where the impact began, even though she might have missed it. She went to her cousin's house, and because of what she was carrying, she caused what someone else was carrying to leap. Someone else was carrying something they knew was in them, but it felt like it's been dead. It felt like it wasn't going nowhere. Elizabeth thought she had a stillborn all this time. Nothing was happening. The baby wasn't moving. But when she walked into Elizabeth's house, when she entered with what she was carrying, what someone else was carrying leaped. She gave a jump start to what someone else was carrying. So the power, the impact of what she was carrying influenced someone else. Can I remind you of the last few years of your life? How many times have you had a conversation with somebody and you've sparked something inside of them? How many times have you been lacking? You needed something, and for whatever reason, somebody called you or you met up with somebody and a simple touch from you, a simple "it's gonna be all right" woke them up. A simple "we'll get through this" woke them up. I was on vacation and I had a conversation with my cousin. We didn't know we was gonna go here, and I just started speaking to him and I told him, "Yo, you are such an encourager. You're gonna do so many great things." And at the end of the conversation, he said, "Bro, for years I've lost my purpose. I didn't know what I was doing here on this earth, but for whatever reason, this conversation, I feel like I got it back. I feel like I know what I'm doing again." And that's where most of us has been for the last few years. We've been making people leap. What you've been carrying has been making people leap. You don't even know the kind of impact you've had over the last few years. You don't even know what you've been doing for the last 3 years of your life. You thought you've been dry. You thought you ain't have no power. You thought you ain't going nowhere. Let me take away this demon, this devil that we built up in ministry. We think until you get a collar, that's when you get power. The power is not what you have on the outside, but what you carry, it's what you've been carrying that's been allowing people's vision to leap. You know how many jump starts you've been giving for the last few years? Unintentionally. Just because you stepped in the house, you woke somebody's dream. Just because you answered the phone, you talked somebody off the ledge. Just because you were available, someone who thought their purpose, their destiny, their goals have died, you woke it up. You caused it to leap. There's a difference between an engine that's failed and a battery that's dead. An engine that's failed, you might just get rid of the car. Just total it. Get rid of it. It's done. But a battery that's dead, all it needs is a jump start. It just needs somebody with a battery that's alive to connect. And that's what you've been doing these last few years. You've been connecting people to their purpose and destiny. Meanwhile, you ain't see yours yet. You ain't give birth yet. But let me help you. You've been carrying. There's weight in what you carry. There's power in what you carry. Am I boring you? Because I can speak to the online audit. There's weight in what you carry. When I think of Mary, I don't think about ministry. Because nowhere does it say she's laying hands and laying people out. Nowhere does it say she's doing all these miracles. Nowhere does it say that she's doing. But what Mary did was ministry. Because she woke up what was inside Elizabeth. And what was inside Elizabeth was John the Baptist, who came and prepared the way for what Mary was carrying. So what you, here's the word of the Lord. What you've been jump-starting for people for years, what people have, you better celebrate those that have gone ahead of you. You better celebrate those you've impacted, because guess what? They're going to market what you're going to deliver. They're going to prepare the way for what's inside of you. There are some of you in here who's been mad and upset that some people have done it before you, and it's gone ahead of you. God told me to tell you that today, they are preparing the way for you. Because when you get ready, you ain't got to pay for advertising. They're going to speak for you. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. Census. So that was her first invite to her sent. That was the first place where she got that new sensation. She impacted someone else. So moving on in the journey, she finally gives birth. They get to Nazareth. And you would think, this is what blows my mind. You would think carrying such a great gift. Raise your hand if you know you're carrying something good. Okay. You would think that the Savior of the world, he's going to be birthed in a grand hotel, this luxurious space. Come on, God, a manger? Really? Like, where there's manure, the sheep dung, there's all this. No, that's where she birthed the greatest gift on earth. And what 2021 has done for most of you, we enter this thing thinking, all right, this is the year I'm going to birth this thing. It's going to come out. If you look back at it, some of you thought you ain't give birth this year. No, you did. You just didn't expect to give birth in manure. In dung, in a pandemic, in social injustice, in a Trump era. You wouldn't expect to give birth in a place like this. But let me tell you, somebody in it, you have given birth. You have been carrying for so long. And this is the year some of you has written books. You've started your own business. You've actualized some of those things that's been in your head. You have given birth to something that's higher than yourself. And the word, if y'all will catch this, because for so long I've been saying to myself, you know what, I ain't anticipating nothing in 2021. I'm not even trying to go there. I'm scared. 2021, you know what 2020 just was. I don't want to declare nothing. Can we talk? I don't want to declare nothing. for 2021. I'm like, yo, do you see what we just experienced? Because at the end of 2019, woo, we were declaring. I was declaring. Yeah, listen, we were declaring and walked into a manger and walked into a pandemic and walked into craziness. So now I've been scratching my head every time I had that unction. All right, 2021, I'm be like, wait, bro, slow down. Let's just make it to 2021. Let's just get there. But the Lord spoke to me and said, you and the people of God have been moving in hesitation for far too long. Because over the years, as we've been carrying Jesus, our DNA has been changing. We've been regenerated. We've been transformed. Yet when we have these utterances, these prophetic utterances, when we had these visions and we hesitate because what we sense doesn't match what we see. What we feeling doesn't match. You ever had a word from somebody and you hesitated? You ain't say it because what you sense doesn't match what you see. There's over a million, and I'm not exaggerating, words and prophecies that I've had for somebody, but I hesitated because I ain't no prophet. Who am I? I've been in this church. There are plenty of you, y'all, forgive me. There were so many words for you I didn't give you because what I heard didn't match what I saw. That who am I factor always kicked in. And let me tell you this, God, this year God has taken off the who am I factor. Because if Mary can deliver in a manger, you can prophesy in a pandemic. If Mary and Joseph can carry the greatest gift and deliver, you can deliver whether it smells good, whether it tastes bad. It doesn't matter. God wants to take off the who am I factor. Get rid of it. Come on here. Get rid of it. Because to you, come on here, you're nobody. But the Bible said to you, you're a sinner. You're a wretch undone. To you, you're a filthy rag. And it's true. You are all of those things. It's true. We are a mess. It's true. We are filthy. We are rags. But the truth is there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What's done is done. If he gave you something, he needs you to deliver it. Just go. The moment you sense it, you gotta feel it and just go. Somebody say, just go with it. Just go with it. Just go with it. Just go with it. Here's where we're going with it. 2021, God is looking for you to sense what to say and just say it. Some of the greatest impact I've had, I don't know about y'all, I've had on the youth, on children, here in church, preaching this gospel, talking to people on the street, was this thing that just came out. And I just said it without hesitation. I just went without hesitation. You ever been in church and you just sent something for somebody and you just look, blah, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And after you said it, you was like, whoa, where'd that come from? That's that new sensation. And the more you practice a sensation, the more, for years, we've been operating off of feelings. Human nature, it's just human nature. We're gonna move based on how we feel. If it don't feel right, we're just not gonna do it. We're gonna fight it. Even if it's of the spirit, we're gonna fight it. But this year, you know what God has done? He's exercised our senses because what we used to feel and would deter us from purpose, now we've been so in sync. I thank God for this consecration and fast. We've been so in sync with him. Now that we feel it, our feelings, our senses match what he's saying. I prophesy and declare this, your new senses is what God has been thinking. What you sense from now on is what God already thought. Just go with it. Just go with it. Because you know what happens? At the end of the Mary's story, at really kind of the end of Mary's ministry, she did two things that stood out to me, was making Elizabeth's baby leap. Y'all forgive me. I'm kind of bouncing back and forth. But she went to Elizabeth's house and her baby leaped. But y'all remember, since giving birth and Jesus arriving in Cana, in Galilee, y'all remember the wedding? All of that ridicule, all that she experienced and dealt with, between then and between the birth and the wedding, there's no record of Jesus doing any ministry. There's no record of her being vindicated for her experience. There's no record of justification of all she went through. And I had a moment with God not too long ago. And I just wept and looked back like, what did I go through all of this for? Why did I go through all of that? And we've all been there. We can all recollect our experience and be like, why did I go through all of this? What was the point? I didn't mind going through it as long as I knew there's another side to this. I'm going to come out on the, but that other side has been, it's been getting further and further and further away for far too long. Where is this other side? God spoke to me and he said, it's in your instincts. You've been fighting your instincts for so long. When you flow in your instincts, you see the other side. When they got to the wedding, what happened? They ran out of wine. They ran out of wine, and Mary went to her son. She said, look, they're out of wine. And he says, woman, what you want me to do? She told the disciples, look, whatever he tells you to do, go do it. Nowhere does it say, here's for your maturity. Nowhere does it say she was visited by an angel. Nowhere does it say the Lord spoke to her and said. Nowhere does it say she received a prophecy from a prophet. She simply had a sensation. She simply moved off her instinct. There was a problem where she was. And her instinct said, whatever he tells you to do, go do it. She didn't know what he was going to do. She didn't know how he was going to do it. She just knew, when I speak this word, he's going to do something and we're going to have what we need. Can I declare a word for you in 2020? You're not waiting on a prophecy. You're not waiting on someone's declaration. You're not waiting on an evangelist to come into town, but you're going to have a new sensation. When you sense a problem, wherever you are and there's an issue, you're going to have an instinct. Women, you call it intuition. That intuition that you've been fighting, the Lord says, go with it. Because by the time you speak it forth, you're going to go, the area will go from not enough to overflow. When she said, whatever he said to do, do it. Jesus told them what to do. And the Bible said, it went from water to wine. So they went from a deficit into overflow. But the beauty of this text is not just that they went from water to wine. The beauty of this text is the man tasted it and said, usually, God help me, the best wine is put out first, so that by the time everyone's inebriated or drunk, they can bring out the bad stuff and no one would notice it. But here's where my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts and not your thoughts. He saved the best for last, because they were used to getting the best first and they will accept the trash later. But when you walk in a new sensation, you can give them the best first, and your reserve is another best. God, y'all ain't saying nothing. What they had last was best. better than what they would have had first. So all Mary had to do was follow her intuition. She didn't know what was going to happen next. And that's where we've been hesitating for years. We don't know what will happen if we say. We don't know what's going to happen if we move on our instincts and intuition. We don't know what the outcome will be. But the Lord told me to tell you, Crown Ministries, if you just move on instinct, you turn water into wine. Y'all don't like this. There's a miracle in your mouth. God, y'all ain't saying nothing. There's prosperity on your tongue. That wherever you find a deficit, all you need to do is move on your instincts. He said, just go with it, because I've been transforming you for the last 10 years. I've been transforming you for the last 5 years. I've been transforming you for the last 2 months. There's been a regeneration. Your DNA has been changed. Your chromosomes are mixed with Adonai and Elohim. Something is different about you that you haven't been able to see physically. But the Bible says we walk by faith, and not by sight. Get ready to move by faith. Get ready to walk by faith. Get ready to say something, and you don't even know how it's going to happen. Get ready to speak, and watch it come to pass. I didn't come to promise you today riches and wealth. I didn't come to promise you houses and land. I didn't come to prophesy about money and wives, and that you will get married. But one thing I know the Lord said is that you have a new sensation. The way you feel is going to change. And he's going to match what you feel with what he thinks. In our text, the book of Isaiah, chapter 55 and verse 8, he says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. All this time, you've been saying, why? Why'd I have to go through that season? Why'd I have to go to that trial? Why did I have to go through all of this? And I love the Lord. Let me tell you, you want a prophecy? Here it is. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I always thought that at this point I would be somewhere. At this point in my life I'd have it all together. At this point in my life I would be married. At this point in my life I would have children. Let me tell you something. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You've been married. You've been married with purpose. You've been married for a long time. You did have kids. You've been carrying for a long time. Let me talk to somebody who thought they missed out on the fruit of the womb. To somebody who thought not having kids was the end of your life. Let me tell you, you've been carrying for a long, long time, and your impact has been greater than you think. You've touched more lives than you could ever imagine. You've been a mother to many. You've been a father to most. You've had more impact than you can count. Hallelujah. 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 Hey, for my ways are not your ways. Therefore, your process wasn't the way the world would process. So you heard a word from me, and you thought you was going to heaven. You heard a word from God, and went straight to hell. This don't make sense. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. What did I go through? What did I go through? What did I go through? Why did it have to be me? Why did I have to lose so much? God, explain it to me. I ain't talking to y'all no more. I'm talking to you. Why did I experience the hell I experienced? Why did you take that from me? Why did you make my mother sick? Why did you make my father go? Why did I have so many deaths in my family? Why did I experience so much? Help me, Lord, because I thought you were God. I thought you was all that. Nothing should happen. If you are God, I got an issue with you. But you told me my ways are not your ways. My way. My way. My way. My way. My way. My way. I didn't hear from God for a long time, y'all. I've been distant from God for a long time. As a matter of fact, the last 2 years of my life, every time I heard from him, it was a word for y'all. Every time I heard from God, it was about a message to preach to y'all. For years, he wouldn't tell me about myself, the answers I would get would be a word for crown. And I love y'all. I preach this word until the day I die. But up until this last month, the only word I got for Dale, my way, are not your way. My thoughts are not. A whole preacher, a whole daddy, a whole husband, all the obligations in the world. You don't tell me nothing. And when you do speak, my ways are not your ways. And my thoughts are not your thoughts. But here's where I got blessed. Here's where I went up. Here's where I wiped the tears. Here's where I got joy. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Which means, Crown Ministries, the thoughts that I've had, the way I thought I would get there, I was thinking too small. I was thinking too small. The level I was thinking on was on an earthly level. The level of success I thought I should attain and achieve was too low for God. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Which brought me to this place. When he told me this, I immediately, it's like my soul left my body. And I was just in space. I was in a whole nother realm. The things I used to think about, the success, the career, things I should have. When I got there, what I was thinking on was so much lower than where he already had me. Been fighting for years, working hard, working, auditioning, doing failure after failure. If I can teach on anything, I can teach on failure. If I'm an expert on anything, I can teach a masterclass on failure. I know how to fail because I've seen it so many times. But my failure has been working towards something that's minuscule to God. When I got to verse 9, for as the heavens are higher, I didn't need anything. He took me. Then the earth. God had me look at earth. I'm not exaggerating. I had to look at earth. And where I was in space was still so distant from heaven. He told me, before you were in your mother's womb, I went back to crying. I was back on the floor at this point. I went from weeping to rejoicing. And even in my rejoicing, I was still so far from heaven. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Here's where I got up again. I already ordained you. I already placed you, which means everything I'm supposed to be, I'm already there. I'm just blinded, interrupted, blocked by this journey. The children of Israel, they were promised the coming of the Messiah. For years, for generations. He's coming. Prophet after prophet, he's coming. Look at that journey. Did they mess up? Yeah, they had roadblocks along the way. They're human. They have senses. They move off of feelings. But here, he had told Isaiah to tell them, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth. In other words, come out of that thinking. Come out of that old way. Come out of that old sensation. I gave you 5 senses for a reason. But now I'm altering them. Since you've been carrying Jesus, since you've been carrying purpose, since you've been carrying destiny. You know there are people who don't follow Jesus, who are closer to destiny, who are more in tuned with a higher level than we are. And we carry Jesus. We carry Jesus and purpose. They just carry their gift. The Bible says gift and callings come without repentance. They know what they know. This is it. This is what I'm supposed to do. Cool. Let me go do it. We have that and Jesus. And we struggle the most. But today, understand the weight of what you carry. He altered your senses. This year alone, if this year ain't teach you nothing, you are not normal. You're not average. You are different. You are set apart. And the word for this house for 2021, go with it. Go with your instincts. You've been through a journey, or you've been through it. If I give you the mic and let you tell your testimony, you've been through it. Everyone here, your journey is not harder than mine. Mine is not harder than yours. Everybody got their story to tell. But the difference is, going into this year, I'm going to trust my instincts. I'm going to trust my intuition. When I feel it, I'm going to say it. And that's the difference. My old feelings used to get me in trouble. When I felt a way about something, I just did it. If I had an attitude, I just had a, whatever I felt usually got me in trouble. So then I had to discipline myself. Don't go off your feelings. Don't go off your feelings. Don't go. Cool. You've done that. Now, as the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, God is putting his thoughts into your senses. Somebody shout a new sensation. Come on, stand to your feet. We're going. A new sensation, a new way, a new thought, a new a feeling, a new sense, a new sight, a new smell. I want to hear God, see God, smell God, taste God, touch God. Every one of my senses. Oh, God, I pray today that all five senses are inundated with his spirit. God, put all of you, your entire DNA, into all five senses so that we can sense you everywhere that we go and everything that we do. Wherever there's a deficit, hallelujah. Wherever there's a deficit, God's giving you the instinct to deal with it and solve the problem. That's what purpose is, solving problems. So, Father, today, we pray that we walk by faith and not by sight. We pray, Lord Father God, that we're able to please you. We're able to please you. The word says, without faith, it's impossible to please you. We pray, Lord Father God, that you honor all that we've been through, honor all that we've experienced, and let our insides, let our faith, let our senses, let our instincts, let our intuition be led by you. We bind every other influence. We bind every satanic force, every confusion, every utterance, every power of evil that comes to contradict what you're saying. Father, clear our senses today, Lord Father God, and give us the new. We walk in that new. We don't know where it's going to lead us, Lord God. We don't know the success of 2021. We don't know the failures of 2021. We don't know what to expect, but we do know we're going to trust what you've put in us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you and we praise you. We thank you and we praise you. If you believe that, clap those hands. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Come on, y'all could do better than that. I'm walking in a new sensation.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, I would love for you to do two things. One, subscribe to our show so you can receive notification of our most recent messages. Also, if this message has impacted you, you can click the link in the description and you can give now. We'll connect with you next time on Crown Ministries Podcast.